The stats.
For the people who aren't paying attention, I sound really smart.
The salt.
You know how you make yourself really trustworthy and believable when you're spinning a story, my word against yours? Definitely wear the darkest sunglasses you own.
The sanity.
You're absolutely right that that is a contradiction.
Okay, that's it. Stop right there.
And every so often, they talk about sports, too. Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Well, we'll have an official title for this one, but for right now, the working title is going to be Hobo Pack Number 3, because we've just got so much stuff in here today that to try to pick something out of the blue would be impossible. Like I said, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. Bring the guys in right now. He might be a little winded because he's literally been outside shoveling every flake of snow that hits the ground outside of his home. Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
I need to go back out there in about 2 hours and do it again.
Yeah. So Justin's going to call timeout in the middle of the show so he can go take care of it.
I'll just take the phone with me. It's going to be terrible audio.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. And the guy who's done the math and he's already figured out if he just waits for it all to fall, it's less work. That is the stat man, Russ Ivanek.
False.
Here we go.
False.
We talked about this.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. False. You got to get the base layer out of there, especially with it being the slush, or else it'll ice over and it'll make everything exponentially harder. But anyways, happy Lunar New Year. Happy College Football National Signing Day. Happy Super Bowl week. Run up 2 weeks.
And the one we don't want to say, happy Groundhog Day. Six more weeks of winter, boys. Six more weeks of this stuff.
Have
you looked outside?
Do either of you speak Groundhog-ese?
No,
what is the
official
language of the Groundhog Club? No?
I told people I majored in a lot of things in my 20s, but that was not one of them.
I believe it's row the boat. Oh, sorry. That's a gopher. Never mind.
No, I was really worried about that base layer. I was very nervous about it, so I called the maintenance company and told them to come shovel.
This guy.
So, yeah, I was – yeah, you can do it, Jay. It's okay. We swear on this show, so it's allowed. Look, we're having fun. This is always a great time to do this with these guys. But we have to start off the show on a little bit of a, more serious topic. We don't do that very often. We try to keep the show as light and enjoyable as possible. But yesterday, announcement that former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores is suing the NFL, three teams, and former Miami Dolphins over racism hiring and practices. And a lot of it stems from the fact that he's made allegations that when interviewing for the Dolphins the Broncos, in 2019, Elway and other senior members of staff showed up an hour late and appeared to be very hungover. In a text thread with former employer, because he did work for the Patriots for a period of time, Bill Belichick, he has a text thread that he has made public to everyone of Bill Belichick saying, you're the guy. And basically Bill saying, I'm sorry, I misread that. They're going in another direction before Flores had even interviewed for the job, thus making it kind of clear he never really had a shot. They were doing it to fill the said Rooney rule, saying that you have to interview a certain amount of minority candidates for it to be beneficial. And guys, when you look at this, I thought about saying, is there a way we could talk about this and kind of make it make sense? But there really isn't, because the situation itself just doesn't make sense for us. It's a very broken, kind of tilted system of, okay, let me get you, and you in, and then I'm good. I can hire whoever I want. But the argument to that side is any other company can hire any other person they want. Yes, you have to interview a certain amount of candidates, but like Ford can go out and hire Joe Schmo if they really want to. It's their prerogative. So it's that hard argument to have of which side is right, which side is wrong. I think we all know which side is right, and it's not the side that's doing the hiring.
Right. I mean, yes, there is a bit of the, if you want to go the cold-hearted, no morality, free market of, it's a privately owned company. You can hire whoever you want. But there's the catch. It's not completely privately owned, the Packers being the specific instance, but who pays for the stadiums? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, the taxpayers' money. So it is not quite that. But this, it's so broken. It's so, roughly speaking, the last time this number was counted up, which I think was the beginning of the year, 57.5% of NFL players are black, right? Yep. One current NFL head coach is. The most common path to being a head coach is being a former player. That tells me one of three things. And the first one we know is false is that, hey, black players can't be head coaches. Obviously, that's false. You can't convince me that the color of your skin or your racial background has an impact on it. And then the other two is we don't have structures in place to build up these candidates to be qualified to be head coaches, which, hey, that's part of the bias and problems that we're having. And C, the most glaring thing that we're seeing directly with this lawsuit is that there's just flat out hiring discrimination, that you've done the first two things enough that you have a qualified candidate and the 75-year-old gas baron or oil baron rather doesn't want to hire a minority. There's five minority head coaches in the entire NFL right now. Over half of the league is. Way over half of the league. It's a shame the farce that they've made the Rooney Rule right now. And I don't want to mess up the MLK quote, but it basically means you can't legislate morality, but you can take steps to ensure it's there. And that hasn't been done in the least. So bring on the lawsuit. It's way past due, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. A couple other notes that I read in the Wall Street Journal this morning was that there was also like a meeting that took place where the owner of the Dolphins wanted to interview a quarterback, like illegally, like not according to code. And Flores was like, no, like that's not how we're supposed to do it. Then Hugh Jackson just came out and said that he was getting asked to throw games as well, which, if you separate the two problems, if both the coach and the GM, no matter what their race or background is, agree to throw games, that I think that's okay. I'm okay with throwing games to tank. I got no problem with that. But when you have a clear-cut dispute between Flores and management that we're not going to interview this quarterback illegally, we're not going to throw games, I want to win, I'm pissing off the owners, and then the whole thing with the Giants, it's like, yeah, he's going to sue on his way out the door. He was building a case the whole time. And another thing, if you don't think he had Belichick's like probably approval to release those text messages, he wouldn't go against his former coach just to have caused more problems. He had to probably get his permission to do that. So he's going to win. They're going to go into court opposed to trying to change it himself. He's going to let the legal system do it.
Putting some of your points together there. And this is something I was kind of sniffing earlier, and it sounds like you might be too. If an owner is going in and building into the contract incentives for losing, doesn't it seem like, hey, I'm hiring this coach to lose and therefore not viewing him as a valid head coach, winning head coach candidate? And it, quote unquote, just so happens to be two black coaches that this happens to.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I do. It's a weird line to toe, but it does have a very weird kind of coincidence to it. Yeah. I mean, but I think any owner who is actively telling a guy who's there to do his job that's based on a win-loss record, telling him, no, we want you to throw the games. Well, I'm sorry. The correlation to that is if we do that, fans aren't going to want me here anymore, and you're not going to sell tickets and all that. So you're almost asking this guy to set himself up or set the franchise up for success down the road, even though he won't be there for it. You're basically saying, help out the next guy. And that to me is just, yeah.
Not to mention, if you take that a step further, let me know when Joe Judge, Jason Garrett, or Jim Schwartz are going to be a head coach again. Because they all had losing records as well. So if you're going to tell a guy to purposely tank, you better be paying him a king's ransom, or he losing coaches don't just go get other gigs. Like, that's probably why it's like, no, I'm going to win 7 or 8 games in Miami and piss off ownership because I'm looking past you guys. I need a job after Miami. It's, I don't know. I think one path that still is yet to be explored, I think, is through the players, though. Because, like, we are judging coaches from afar and assuming relationships between GMs and coaches. If you get the players to be like, fuck this, and then they start impacting, that's you're bringing the fans closer to the locker room to try to understand what's happening with the coach. I would love to see some action from the players to be like, yeah, that owner's a scumbag and we need to sell the Fords, get them out, like, you know, just something more than speculation and us trying to connect dots. I guess
to that point, Darius Slay and Des Bryant have both already come out in support of Flores.
Good.
So there's two players at minimum that I saw.
Good. And then did you guys see that they're talking about draft picks? Like, if I forgot how they're proposing the rule, or is this a new thing?
I hadn't heard it, but it sounds like a slap on the hand.
It's if you hire a minority candidate and then you – I don't know how it works, but no, draft
picks. Incentive, basically. Yes, I don't mean it's – yes, but it's supposed to add the – yeah.
Right. And the team that he gets hired away from, if he was a coordinator, receives draft pick compensation. So if like Aubrey Pleasant or Aaron Glenn were hired away from the Lions would also get compensation sort of as an incentive to build up the structure to level the playing field.
How about we just don't be racist? employ people.
You're like 15 steps away from that.
I understand, but I don't know. I hope Flores wins in court. It's probably going to be settled, which if the league is going to say it's meritless and they're going to come, they better come correct. And if they're going to try to settle it, it's just, I hate so much of what so many people choose to be.
Look, it's a tough topic to kind of try to dissect and go through piece by piece because of everything and how, you know, you have to be kind of, you have to choose your words wisely and how you set it up and how you explain it and all that. And it shouldn't be this way. This should be the best man for the job gets the job. And, you know, I heard it today on the radio driving in. You can't tell me that, you know, out of 31 teams, the fact that there's only one person of color who is actually a head coach in this league, you can't tell me that there are not, you know, more people who are qualified for these jobs to see it. The thing I wanted to bring up, and I heard it last night on ESPN, and, you know, they had a lot of people responding to this in a lot of different ways, but it was a comment that was made, and I want to get your guys' opinion. I'm not saying one way or the other here, but in his conversations with reporters and with, you know, the league and all that, Flores kind of compared the NFL today, and I don't know if you guys heard this or not, compared the NFL today to a plantation. It's a white owner. Kind of, you know, where you have a league that's, you know, predominantly Russ, you gave the numbers, but predominantly African-American players, and the owners are the ones raking in all the money. And I know it's a tough subject to broach, but when you guys hear that, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, I'll say this. As a straight white guy, I don't get to say whether he's right or not, frankly, because I don't have to live that perspective. But from a outside perspective, it's a little sensationalist, but in extreme cases, you need to speak extremely to be heard. And that's kind of what's going on there. Like, is there a notion of that, I mean, how much have we heard about painkillers, playing injured, the whole thing with AB, if all of his claims are right, like that was this year. There's still a big sense of like, he makes $1 billion and I hopefully make $1 million and I assume all of the risk and all of the injury and they'll just cut me and not pay me anything else. And that's in the CBA as something they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's something to it.
Yeah. I have to somewhat take the same path here because you hear people say that it's too big to fail. And I laugh at that because if something is that messed up and wrong, it should fail no matter how big it is. So if there are these type of events taking place behind closed doors where predominantly white elderly people that are males are making terrible morale decisions, maybe it should fail. I mean, like, look at the NHL. There's like the same coaches that have the same jobs and they have all the same skin, like and they're all the same, like, it just,
and they're all Canadian.
yeah it doesn't add up. There's got to be so many people that aspire to be things that are more than just these stereotypes that get casted into these sports positions that anyone would want to do anything. But like, we can have a female coach in either sports, in any sports. Like, there's too big to fail is probably getting in the way for a lot of people to make the correct decisions. And they're making terrible ones behind closed doors.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I knew asking this question, it was not like we were going to get to be able to go too deep into it, because as you said, we can't speak. I think that it's, I see what you're trying to do and I see what you're trying to say. I get the point he's trying to make, albeit kind of maybe a little bit of a, you know, I don't even want to say exaggeration. I'm going to use that word, but I don't mean it I mean it as, I guess how you said, sensationalizing and kind of getting a little more to it. But the last thing is, as we talk about it, Flores was quoted as saying that he realizes that, you know, this is the game he loves, and he realizes by doing this, he may be, you know, pretty much taking himself out of the game he loves and finding a coaching. Guys, when we look back at this, and I remember covering it, I remember talking about it when it happened. Justin, do we think this is going to just end up being another kind of Kaepernick moment where he tries and we see a marginal amount of change, but really it's just more like, you know, like we say it, you know, oh yeah, you're kind of being like Kaepernick. Like it'll be like, oh yeah, you're just being like Flores. Or is this something that, you know, should be a big drive for change, and at the end of it we should see this as, one, Brian Flores is back in the NFL in a coaching position because he earned it, but two, he has opened the way for all these other people who are rightfully deserving of these positions to have it.
I hope it results in something like that, but with the NFL's track record and how they knee jerk lack of genuine reaction that they do to most things, I don't trust it. Like I don't trust them to do the right. Okay, they're going to establish some like fund or something. So, like, it's going to be some like half-hearted bullshit. Like that's their MO, and it's unfortunate. It should be a medium-sized newsy thing that Flores gets another job, or he's back from Miami, or he's somewhere head coach. Like, it should be immediately. He should go to Jacksonville. I don't care. Like beat up on Miami now. Like, it needs to be something like that. And instead, it's going to be some half-hearted, grandiose bullshit from too big to fail NFL.
Yeah. Rusty?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's I would like to say it's a catalyst for change, but we've seen too much. And as you were lining this up, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. This is exactly like Kaepernick, and it cost him his career. It's probably, even if Flores wins, his NFL career is probably already over. Because yeah. The same people he's alleging these things against are the same people that would hire him.
It's gonna take like a coach who agrees with what he's doing to maybe mm-hmm. bring him in as a coordinator. But mm-hmm. him taking the helm of an NFL ship anymore, I think, is over. Which yeah. is sad.
But a shame.
You're gonna get ostracized for doing what is the right thing when it's all right. said and done.
Yeah, that's a dude I want on my team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just to recap it up, the lawsuit handled by Wigder Law LLP, which is representing Flores, they are looking for these things to be addressed when it's all said and done. Increase influence of black individuals in hiring, increase the objectivity of hiring, terminating GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, increase the number of black coordinators, incentivize hiring, retaining of black GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, transparency of pay for GMs, head coaches, and coordinators. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages from the NFL, which called the claims without merit Tuesday. So the NFL not going down quietly here, which, when does the NFL ever go down quietly yep. in these situations?
Yes. Gentlemen, it's time to just root for the USFL instead.
Yep, here we go. Start looking other ways.
What's his name is coaching in Detroit too?
Jeff Fisher. Fisher 500.
Yeah, he's here. It is what it is. All right, well, we're going to stay in the NFL, but we're going to turn it a little bit. Last couple days, a lot of speculation that our coach Jim Harbaugh, Russ, is possibly trading in the maize and blue for the purple and gold. He's interviewed today for the Minnesota Vikings. He's a likely candidate. And what I found especially funny, to help out and, you know, make sure he was really taken seriously, his brother John sent a note to the Vikings that he was a good hire for this. That's not a joke. He actually made comments that hiring Jim Harbaugh would be a good decision on the franchise's part. Russ, obviously, since he came here, yeah, I know everybody's
nepotism.
Scratching their head.
Yeah, no,
I really like John Harbaugh, but now I need to make fun of him. Oh,
I think they just want to both be able to wear purple on the same day.
Apparently.
So look, Russ, obviously over the last couple of years, a lot of up and down when it comes to Jim Harbaugh. He didn't get off to the start we wanted in Ann Arbor. We've seen flashes of it this past year. We saw the closest thing to the finished product we were looking for. Is it just kind of that weird feeling of, wait, no, we're not done yet. What are you doing? You gotta keep going here. Like, we don't want to hit the reset button right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It feels like you finally got there, that all of it, this finally, you rebuilt the car, right? And you're flying down the highway and everything's great. And then you stop and you're like, hey, I guess it's time to sell this piece of shit, huh? What? No. What? It's incredibly frustrating, especially seeing what came before Harbaugh too. I mean, I'm not calling him public enemy number one just yet, but the bullet's in the chamber and I'm waiting. Like, I didn't believe any of these rumors until I found out. And let me know if this was a game changer for you guys, that his interview was Wednesday today, like Eric said, the same day as college football national signing day.
Yeah.
The day that you should have the most stability projected out to the recruits, you go and flirt with an NFL team.
That's purposeful. That's right? That's behind closed door revenge right there.
I don't get it. And it leaves me despondent on where do we go from here?
Well, the other reason I kind of wanted to bring it up, and this is me trying to look into what are the reasons. Obviously, the NFL, if you're a coach, would in theory be it's the top tier. It's where you want to be if you get into this game to coach. I would disagree with that. I would make the statement that, you know, you could think of some coaches who have had far more success in college football than they have in the NFL. I mean, Nick Saban would be the outlier in a lot of ways because of what he's done. But to me, I've always found, and it might just be my interest in the game, I've always found college more interesting. It's a four-year challenge. It resets. Mm-hmm. Unlike Bill Belichick, who he got the same guys and then let it ride for over a decade. Every 4 years, you know none of those guys are going to be here anymore. We got to make sure it's a continuous cycle, and I like it for that. But if you're reading into this, Jay, are you reading it maybe as he's thinking, okay, we're losing Aiden, we're losing this guy, we're going to lose Hassan, we're going to lose this guy. It's like, maybe I should get out of here before we hit a huge nosedive back down to 7-5, and then I have to worry about people going, oh, nope, time to get rid of him again. So maybe leave while my stock is at its absolute peak.
That's my first note under Mr. Harbaugh. I think he wants to leave. I think the tipping point for me was what Russ just said, the fact that he did it on the second national signing day. He's out to get paid one way or another, and I don't think he's too happy about it right now. I don't know. If I was him, I would almost want to stay and coach a 10-2 team almost every single year. And maybe on some down years from recruiting or whatnot, you're not 10-2. Maybe it's lesser. But I don't know, man. You just did it. Like, and now he wants to go. And my only other point, though, is if he leaves, he doesn't have to deal with the NIL. He doesn't have to deal with academic restraints on players coming in and out of the school. And he doesn't have to compete with people going into the portal and leaving his team whenever the hell they want, which I still think is fair. But he gets to go to the NFL and not deal with all that headache and the pressure.
No,
he
just has to go deal with guys that make three times as much money as he does and think they can tell him what to do and what not to do. He's got to deal with trying to get these crazy people to agree to come to Minnesota when in reality you don't want anything to do with them other than the fact that they are really fast, really talented, insert talent as you wish. He's got to deal with owners who, as we just talked about, find reasons to fire you for no reason other than they're just bored. I mean, let's talk about the fact that Bob Quinn got rid of the last winning head coach we had in this city.
So
he fired because he didn't like him and it wasn't his guy. So I get it. The thing for me, and Russ, I know you had something to say on this, but the thing for me is you just had this amazing season. You just had this phenomenal season that everybody has been waiting for. You just bought yourself another 3 or 4 years at minimum. At minimum, you can go out and go 10-2, 10-2, 9-3, and no one's going to be calling for anything other than let's just keep doing what we're doing. He just bought himself the extension he wants. Going to Minnesota, as we've seen in the NFL, Russ, I'm going to give you a little challenge for next week. What the average turnover is in the NFL for NFL head coaches taking jobs. Because I feel like it can't be any better than a 2 to 3 year turnover for a lot of these. So at best, those 3 years you just bought yourself, you're going to have in Minnesota, but you don't have the, like, you don't have fans, the staff all behind you like you do at Michigan. You're just on a 3 year clean slate trial run. And before you know it, I don't hope it happens. I don't know. We don't even know that he's for sure ready to leave. It's just one of those, it's one of those situations where, like, you're going to take the call if the call comes just to see. It doesn't mean you're going to go anywhere. You just want to know if that option's available to you. But I just can't see this being a right opportunity for him, because you're going into a situation, to me, that's no win. You're going into a division that's in a state of flux. You are not one of the top teams in that division talent wise right now. You have a quarterback who I think everybody in Minnesota would love to see go to U of M as a trade for Jim Harbaugh, just so they don't have him anymore. You have, we have another quarterback that we want to head coach at Michigan. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. But you have some decent receivers. You do. You have one of the best running backs in the league. Yeah, I'm done. There's nothing else to write home about.
He gets to hit the skull. And then he's got to get a Minnesota accent, just like Brian Kelly did. Went to Louisiana. He's got to get that draw. He's got to start the whole dynamic. He's going to start dancing.
He's going to start dancing on the 360 cam behind one of his players. Yeah. No, Russ. I just don't see this as a. I don't see this as a smart situation for him as a next step.
No, I don't either. Like, you're Jim Harbaugh. I mean, and when you have something as resoundingly effective as a handwritten letter of recommendation from your Super Bowl winning brother, I mean, the NFL is always there, right? I don't understand why this was the one. I mean, and if he's already going and flirting with other things, he probably means he's done at Michigan anyways, especially for the day that he did it. But yeah, I don't get why. Look at his entire fan base. It's Michigan play. It's Michigan fans, and it's Bears fans who remember the last time their team was decent when it wasn't because of Devin Hester. And he alienates both of them with this single move. And so I'm counting down the days until we see his milkbag body wearing one of those stupid Viking hats shirtless on the practice field, because it's coming.
Oh my God.
And that will be the first time that I go, oh, that's why he did it. He wanted to wear the hat.
Valid reason for him.
It probably would be enough. Because, I mean, to the things Justin said about not having to deal with old transfer portal, wait till you hear about free agency.
Yes, I understand.
NIL, wait till you hear about the marketing opportunities that come from playing in big cities that aren't Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there's a GM over him. He doesn't have the autonomy that he had. He can't be Crazy Jim, because they'll just leave him. The NFL teams have a lot more money that they'll allocate than a college football team will when it comes to getting rid of a guy who's driving them crazy. He's putting his head in the guillotine when there was a better position open this offseason, let alone if he would have just waited a little bit.
Yeah, I find it interesting that of the jobs available, this seems to be the one he zeroed on
right
very fast. I agree with you on that. I do. I think at the end of the day, for all the down we've had with Harbaugh, I've now seen enough over the last couple of years to prove if you give him the right talent and you give him the time to build it how he wants, he can build a product that's pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for however you view it, he finished as one of the top four teams in the country this past year. He did something that we've been trying to do for a very long time in Ohio State. He won the Big Ten championship. That was always been you had a great 10-2 year. Did you win a Big Ten championship? Well, this year you can say, yeah, I did. So it's the thing. If he did everything, it's very weird to me for him to go, yeah, I think I did everything I wanted to do here. That cannot be all you wanted to do here, buddy. Yeah, that cannot be. So we'll see. I want to ask a follow-up question, but before I do, obviously, you know, we record these. So for everybody, if this has already happened, I do apologize. But at 5:47 on Wednesday, Justin, is Jim Harbaugh in Minnesota at the start of this upcoming football season?
Yeah, and you're going to have a fan base that's going to lose some commits to the school, probably. And there's going to be some aftershock with it that comes. So
okay.
Get up all in your feelings now and get used to the idea, because I think he's gone.
Rusty?
I'm already looking at who could replace him at Michigan. Yeah, okay. This is too bold of a statement. I think he's gone.
I think he's just window shopping, personally. Oof. That's just me.
On the most busy day of the year, or the second busiest day of the year, he's saying big F you window shop.
Yeah, you also want to see how many of those recruits are going to commit. If those recruits don't commit like you thought they were, you have a chance to walk out the door. If all those guys come and you feel like you're going to have a pretty stacked roster, you look at Minnesota and go, call me in 3 years when the next guy doesn't work out. It's that thing. I do. I think I've said this numerous times on the podcast, and I've said it on other shows when I've, you know, been able to somehow be able to give my opinion. I think Jim Harbaugh is a college football coach. I just don't see him in the NFL. I don't. We saw him in San Francisco. He had a great amount of success, but I feel like for all that success, he also had a lot of, you know, not great moments. He didn't seem to get along with his quarterback. He didn't seem to understand the fact that, you know, this isn't college. These kids aren't on scholarship fighting for education and their future. These guys are in their future now, and some of them are stars and don't feel the need to be told that they can, you know, what they can and can't do. I feel like Jim Harbaugh fits very well in a college atmosphere. So for that reason, I'm going to say I think he's window shopping. I think he's in Ann Arbor this fall. And, you know, we'll obviously see what happens. But, Russ, you kind of led into the final question. You're already looking. Who are we looking at as the final? Now, I'm going to throw this as a joke, everybody, so calm down. But this is just to watch Justin have a fit. Tom Brady doesn't have a lot to do these days. He's got a tie to the college if he really is looking for a quick job. I know he could probably be hurting for money at this point. So
yeah, I'm sure.
I would love to just see the TB12 logo on the side of the Michigan hats from here on out, right on the back of the Jumpman, like the Jumpman on the front, TB12 on the back. No, in all honesty, Russ, what are you thinking? My first thought, and it's just because it's the least amount of overturn, is Josh Gattis.
That's also that would be my clubhouse favorite for it. And the only thing working against him is, hey, the D coordinator's gone too.
Well, so, that's what I was just about to say. Even though Gattis has been there a little longer, if McDonald doesn't leave, is there really that question of, well, McDonald was only here for a year or two. Why is he not the guy? That defense was so insane last year that it's almost like, could we kind of have this little controversy of one of you is going to get the job. Is the other one even going to stay?
Well, I think McDonald was always kind of on loan. He was always kind of a lease because he came from he of letter recommendation fame, John Harbaugh's team.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like a grooming thing where it's like, hey, here's my position coach. Plug him in as your DC. He's smart. I'll take him back in a year. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So, I would have guessed that Gattis would have gotten it, if nothing more than the fact that, oh, he's already interviewed for a head coach position with Virginia very, very recently, within 2 months ago now. So that you were already at risk of losing him this coaching cycle to a different head coaching position. So if you want to keep him, if you want any continuity, it's going to be him.
Well, that kind of leads me to my question. If Harbaugh goes, do you even shop? Or is it that kind of thing where, like, Jim's going to Minnesota on Wednesday. We just want you to know, Jim takes this job. It's you. Like, we're not even looking elsewhere, or do you kind of have to open up the door and say, let's see who else is out there? You know, obviously over the years, there's been the thought of maybe it's Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Maybe that's the guy that comes here, bigger program. Maybe we go with a little lesser known guy. Maybe one of these guys who's a head coaching candidate in the NFL is not going to get it. Cough, cough, Kellen Moore. Maybe he decides he wants to come back to college. Is his first big job at a major college like this? But for me, it's almost the thing of, because we lived through the Rich Rod years, because we lived through the Brady Hoke years, I almost want to be like, no. You don't open the door at all. You just say, see that office you're in right now? Tomorrow, all your stuff will be in this office. It's a little bigger, and it's your job now. We don't even want to worry about anything else right now.
I'm a little more willing to take a risk on that than you, but I'm still there where Gattis has got the advantage, and you have to – you always do your due diligence, I think. But someone has to blow away Gattis. it has to be something that, like, even Josh Gattis goes, oh shit, you could have gotten him? Like, that level of guy. Because otherwise, yeah, you keep him, if nothing more than the fact that, yes, it's continuity, it's a team that was just, you know, in the playoff here and did pretty damn well for themselves. But now you've had, in one offseason, your head coach and your D coordinator go to the NFL. Josh Gattis gets promoted internally. You now look like a prime spot for any coach that has NFL aspirations in the entire league. And you now have two coordinator positions to fill with the not only promise, but proof that if you come here and you perform, good things happen for you.
Yeah.
So you probably get the cream of the crop coordinator wise.
Well, see, the other reason I like it so much for Gattis is nothing has to change that didn't already have to change. Your defense was already going to change a little bit anyway, because your D coordinator is no longer there. Gattis is your offensive coordinator. Your offense doesn't have to change one iota, which means McNamara and McCarthy, they know what's on the page. Corum, he's got a pretty good idea of what's expected of him. There's not a lot of, you know, all these underclassmen who are now going to move up. They already know everything they need to know on that side of the ball. The defense was going to have to learn anyway. So now you just go out and find the best available defensive coordinator possible and say, look, let's start building this thing. We understand if year one, it's going to be on the offense, but and that's why I keep switching back to the Lloyd Carr to Rich Rod thing of how much everything had to change. Yeah. I just don't want another situation of, you know, we hire Coach X. He comes in and goes, you have a perfect power eye kind of offense. I like that. Okay, we're going to run the spread air raid real quick.
Five wide. Here we go.
We're going to run the spread air raid, which means all these tight ends we have, you're useless to me now. Go away. And it's like, that's not how we do things. So really, the last question, and it's for you, Justin. Do you have Mark D'Antonio's number?
No, your school is incapable of hiring people outside of being a Michigan person. Like, listen, you made one fatal mistake. You're talking about TB12 on a hat. The only logo that goes on a hat is Flagstick Golf Apparel logo. And you can check them out at flagstickgolfapparel.com. Like, Russ is pointing at the wrong breast.
I forgot how my camera flips things.
Armchair 20. Get the proper logo on your head, not TB yuck in your pants. It's Flagstick Golf Apparel.
I had my Flagstick ski cap on all day today at work. Love it.
That's
great.
That's where it's at. I don't trust your school. They're gonna, like, I feel like they evaluate coaching talent equally to marketability. Because look what they just did. Harbaugh climbed a freaking tree, guys. Do not forget that he slept over at your kicker's house.
But it worked.
Look how great that kicker turned out
for a 17-year-old kid.
You can't say it worked if you only win one Big Ten title.
No, but the goal was to get the kid, and he did.
Correct. But if the results are now bearing fruit, not that much fruit here, what I'm getting at is I feel like they're going to try to find a coach that fits some marketing scheme as well as coaching. So if you've got Gattis and company, or lack of their company because the coach has just left under him, but if you've got Gattis and you're going to bring in some other dude, I feel like that's what they'd end up doing. I hope it's Gattis for your guys' sake, so you have some continuity year over year, but it's going to be like Ronald McDonald or something so they can partner with Big Macs. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Did you just say it you can't say it worked if you only won one Big Ten title?
I know.
Yeah.
All your coach won Big Ten titles.
Your coach was there twice as long as Harbaugh was, and he won three. He won two in a row or he won 10, 13, and 15. That's great. And he made it to how many college football playoffs? Oh, the same as Harbaugh. That's okay. I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying. My trees. It is not the proper season to have this conversation. Right. It has to be fall to really get at it. We had two more than you.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
In twice the amount of time, like three times in that game.
In twice the amount of time.
Listen,
I thought you said you couldn't get worked up for this conversation, and yet here we are.
Listen,
all I have to do is question. I ain't climbing a tree, Lord D'Antonio.
I ain't climbing a tree just to win one Big Ten championship in 10 years.
That's Fuck all that. I have to do is question the integrity of Lord Commander D'Antonio, and he gets and angry.
He fell off nice.
Which tree do I got to climb to get a Lions playoff? Because I'll climb it.
How many trees do I climb to get the Fords to sell the team?
Because I'll get my gloves.
The tree
Everyone
outside.
Get a tree.
The tree outside the Ford family house. You're just going to have to intimidate him a little bit.
And then get arrested for trespassing.
All right, let's talk about the NFL football that actually matters. Obviously, we'll see what comes of the Harbaugh signing, whether he decides to take it or not. Guys, we officially know who's playing in the Super Bowl. This past week, Cincinnati Bengals get a 27-24 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. And the L.A. Rams, Matthew Stafford's L.A. Rams, get a 20-17 win over the San Francisco 49ers. Gotta love that 2 weeks in a row, Kansas City goes to overtime. And 2 weeks in a row, or for different results in the 2 weeks. Interception, Cincinnati drives it down, gets the game-winning field goal. They really are going to retire McPherson's number after this year because, heck, 1 year is all we need out of him to get to a Super Bowl, apparently. Like I said, 27-24. Bengals over the Chiefs, and guys, this team's pretty good. They're a pretty solid football team. Got down early to the Chiefs and somehow found a way to claw back. Joe Burrow's 23 of 38, 250, two touchdowns, one interception. Not even a great game for Jamar Chase. Six catches, 54 yards, had a touchdown. Higgins was their big guy with six catches for 103 yards. On the other side, Patrick Mahomes, 26 of 39, three touchdowns and two interceptions. Travis Kelce, 10 catches for 95 yards. Oh boy, was it nice to see someone other than Patrick Mahomes representing that division. It really was.
Hell yeah. If I can give you one thing, though. If someone wants to talk up the Bengals, by all means, you better start talking before I do. Because I'm like, Russ, if you have positive Bengals news, you should probably talk.
I have one.
Okay, let you go first, because I'm going to pop some bubbles.
This is an adaptive defense that contained Patrick Mahomes for the second matchup in 4 weeks. They have made second half adjustments that he has not been able to adjust back to. Mm-hmm. And is there another NFL team that can claim that right now? Maybe there's one or two that have done it. They, on paper, don't have the talent that a Rams team does, but they're getting the same results. Against the best play. They knocked off the number one seed, and then they knocked off Kansas City in back-to-back weeks. That's not nothing. That's that D coordinator's getting a head coach job.
Well, but this one play to me sums up that defense. Second half, one of their top players on the defense, Hendrickson, chases Mahomes all around God's green earth. And after the play, literally needed to tell McPherson to stop practice kicking because he needed the net to hold him up. He was so gassed. It really was every play sell out for as long as we can, as hard as we can, and we'll worry about the result after the play because every play matters. And that's the case in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jay. I know you've got things to say.
Go get them.
Well, to help a little bit on the positive side, though, Cincinnati, the whole season, including the postseason, they had only two games that are come from behind games, and once was already to Kansas City earlier in the year, being down by at least more than 4 points. They came back to beat Kansas City. They limited Kansas City to 3 points in the second half. No one's going to write that script. Now, the one thing that doesn't help is that the Bengals' defense is also seventh in the league for yards allowed per play. And above them and below them are the Titans and the Chiefs. So as much as I do love the Bengals have had a little bit of an easier go at it to get to where they're going. They've played lesser than great defenses in the postseason so far. So I'm not sold. Like, Joe Burrow's great. I don't think he's lighting up a cigar in a couple weeks here. So was it a great win? Yes. Are we Mahomes-less for the Super Bowl? Great. My bet I picked is dead. But we also get to be entertained a little bit more with Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon and Burrow come Super Bowl. But I'm not believing the hype yet.
And that's fair. Like I said, on the other side, Rams get a 20-17 win. almost cost him late in the game. Stafford throws what should have been the easiest interception. Was basically a punt return that, you know, didn't count. Stafford just throws a 50-50 ball. My favorite tweet of the week was Sean Belegian with the replay saying, Stafford pretty much just yelled 500 dead or alive. You know, and if you've ever played that game, you know exactly what we're talking about. And it was just the absolutely it's the play that could have gotten San Francisco there. Now, again, there was time left on the clock. You have to wonder with Jimmy G and how banged up he appeared to be, do they still get down and find a way to score? Do they find a way to capitalize? They get the win 20-17. Jimmy G, 16-30, 232, two touchdowns, one interceptions. Debo Samuel, who I think should just get the MVP right now of everything for what he did.
Cried.
Yeah, four so catch.
He was
four
catches, crying, though.
Oh, I saw it. Four catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown. He also was their leading rusher, seven carries for 26 yards. This guy literally did everything he could to find a way to get him there. Stafford on the other side, 31-45, 337, two touchdowns, one interceptions. Cooper Kupp, 11 catches, 42 yards, and two touchdowns. Odell Beckham Jr., nine catches, 113 yards, no touchdowns. So those two single-handedly just handled everything on the receiving end. Look, this is that weird conversation we got to have. How much happiness do we have for Stafford? How much do we hate that this clearly now indicates it wasn't Stafford all this time in Detroit? That's something we all knew, but it's tough. Look, I would love to see Stafford win a Super Bowl. I don't really want it to be the year after he leaves, because that's just 10 times harder to handle. But that being said, I also don't think this is going to be Stafford's last. If this team stays the way it is, and as long as Aaron Donald, you know, is Aaron Donald, I don't think this is Stafford's only chance at a trophy, at the Super Bowl. But I also don't want it to be this year. That little selfishness inside me doesn't want to see Matt Stafford go all the way the first year after leaving this city. It's just that tough. Jay, I know you're all for it. I know you want to see it. But part of me just wants to be like, look, man, can you maybe have like a really bad game and just like do it in maybe two or three years? That'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
Just DM him. DM him exactly what you said. I'm pretty sure. DM Kelly. Just throw the whole damn thing. You'll get an extra.
Well,
I mean, I understand where you're coming from with it, but at the same token, like, you've already come this far in this pain train. You might as well endure the whole thing and let him win it. All right, so Debo was crying his eyes out. I wanted to cry with him when I saw him crying. Natasha is even like, that poor guy is just bawling his eyes out. Like, I tend to go towards the emotion. I'm riding this high now. Stafford for the Super Bowl. He's gonna win the MVP.
And nothing would sting more, because we already have confirmation to Eric's point that it wasn't Stafford. He was never the thing holding back, but that would be the final nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't trust a lot of things in life completely, but I completely trust in the continuous pain that is being a Detroit Lions fan. So book it. It's going to happen. There's no other real option. The only thing that would be not more painful, but similarly painful, is if a team that had three wins turned it around in one season, won a Super Bowl. It's lose-lose. Yeah. So might as well.
But see, I see that one as more hope. I see that one as more hope, though, because that means it means a team can turn it around in 1 year.
It's the hope that'll kill you.
That's true. As Lions fans, though, that's all we have, my friend. That next year is the best year keep hoping for it. All right, I want to make these predictions real quick, because we have a few other little things we want to do with this topic. Russ came up with a really good little best of topic that I think is going to it'll be interesting to see. So real quick, over-under's 48.5. Bengals are getting 4.5. Jay, which way are you going with this one?
It's a home game. It's a home game for the Rams, which only hurts even more that Stafford's going to have a chance to win it with all his fans in the stadium, because the 49ers will not show up and overtake the stadium again. Cincy's the only team that has scored in every single quarter in the playoffs, which I think is weird.
Amazing.
It's absolutely crazy, but they've got to score more than 10 points in a quarter. So I don't see the durability there for that team. Rams have a better offense. They're much better on defense compared to the other team, to the Bengals, and they've had a harder path to get there. So I think they're going to beat up on the Bengals big time. I think that the Rams are going to score somewhere between what they did between the 49ers and the Bucks, and that's between 20 to 30 points. I'm taking the over. Rams win 27-17. And the Bengals will just do that slow little trickle of getting points in every quarter, but it's not going to – they're not as explosive, all right? There's a reason why Stafford has made every single player on that offense hit their career level stats-wise, all the way from running backs to second-year players to vets like OBJ and Cooper Kupp. They've got no Higbee, I don't think. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. But look what he did with the backup. He had a career day. Stafford continues to make people have career years. They're going out on top.
Higbee's listed as questionable right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Get well.
Hold on. You said 27-17?
Yes.
And you picked the over.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Just saying.
27-17. And the under.
There you go.
There we go.
It's a four.
Yeah. Let me try and make you feel a little bit better about that change of opinion, too. Rams and Cincy combined against the over-under. 1-5 getting the over. Mm-hmm. They've combined gone under 5 out of their 6 playoff games this season. Or this playoffs. So that's about as near of a lock as you can get. Also, Bengals 7-0 in their last 7 games against the spread. So I'm going to hit both of those. I'm going to say that the Rams still win, but it's 24-21. Take the Cincy with the points there. That's about the smartest bet I can suggest this week.
Okay. I'm going to go with that 1-5 getting to the over, because I think it's going to be the under. That's a number I like. It's going to be under by half a point, because I am taking Cincinnati Bengals 27, LA Rams 21. You said they scored. No, let me finish. You said they find a way to score. They're just that team that seems to always be scoring. And look, Jamar Chase had an off game. They still won. They should have won by more if Jamar Chase has a good game. This is, him and Joe Burrow, they don't know their next chance to get here. You would assume it'll be frequently if this team can do what it keeps doing, but you don't know that. I don't see Jamar Chase having an off game. He is going to find a way to be available, be ready to go, and be the guy that helps, bring this team a Super Bowl. So, look, like I said, I think Stafford has a lot better chance of getting back here. If you ask me right now, I would give the Rams far better odds, and I don't think this is a surprise to anyone. Far better odds to get back to a Super Bowl than I would the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, for all things, they have some serious talent on that team. They're also, they're playing with that Cinderella magic right now. And, you do not want to see it hit midnight early. So I think 27-21, Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrows fires up one more cigar. And then someone looks at him and goes, Tom Brady played till he was 45 years old because he didn't do that shit. Stop doing it. Celebrate some other way. Like, seriously, celebrate some other way. That's just not a good idea for a 22-year-old dude to be doing that after every victory. So, 27-21. Bengals get the Super Bowl. Stafford had a hell of a run, and I think we see him there again much sooner than we probably would expect.
Unreal.
Real quick, like I said, Russ did have a best of topic. I want to get to it. But before we do, I read this article today, and it almost – sparked the old person in me that doesn't agree with these people sometimes. Jimmy G says he expects to be traded from the San Francisco 49ers. No surprise there. We talked about it last week. Says he wants to be sent to a winning situation. Everybody wants to be sent to a winning situation, Jimmy. So my question for you guys, and I read the article through and through. He very gracious about San Francisco. It's been a hell of a ride. Love you guys. See ya. Lynch has even said that we're in a situation to make some tough decisions, and it won't be easy, but I'm happy about it. That means we've got the best scenario going, and that's what we've got to pull through. And Jimmy will know everything as we go. They're going to be very transparent with him. But, guys, when did we reach this point where these guys can look at these people and go, only if you send me to a contender? Well, that doesn't make any sense. We're going to send you to the place that gives us the best return. We understand you had a great run here. And look, I think it's insane that Jimmy G almost got them to two Super Bowls in his tenure there, and they're, you know, they're potentially going to be getting a bag of peas for him in return because of the fact that they don't really need, you know, they're not in any desperation need. So when did we get to this point, Russ, where these guys were able to look at each other and go, look, I know you got to get rid of me, but if you could just send me to the team that's going to win the Super Bowl next year, I'd really appreciate that.
I think we were always kind of on that level. I mean, even look at Bobby Lane, right? That was a championship Lions roster that they got rid of him, and he put a curse on this franchise for 50 years. That's pretty damn well. Yeah. We see it more in social media age, not just because, hey, we see everything more, but because now it might actually influence events. Not that the 49ers are going to go, okay, Jimmy, okay, I'll only trade you to a Super Bowl team. No, it's because the teams that are rebuilding will go, he doesn't want to go here. He's not going to play as well. He's not going to sign an extension here. I'm not going to give as much for him. Mm-hmm. And in that way, he can kind of subtly manipulate his market a little bit. And if he's leaving the 49ers, what does he care what they get in return? So he can play his games. If it drives his value way down, what does he give a shit?
Jay, the GM and you can't like this very much.
He took chips off the table, man. But at the same time, like, good for him, I guess. Like, you were a Patriot and then you become a 49er and now you want to contend for the Super Bowl. Says every NFL player in the league. Everyone wants that, dude. Like, I don't know. It's a little much. I might be coming off of my Jimmy G stance. Every day, I think I lose a little bit more of my position on Jimmy G.
Every day he has to throw the ball from Jimmy.
We do. He got to throw the ball like 11 times a game, and he's Gucci. Like, I'm low volume QB.
And then next week he'll date the number one girl on Brazzers, and Justin will like him again.
I can tell you who that is. No, it's gonna be Jimmy G over in Minnesota with Harbaugh.
Oh my God!
Explosion.
Okay. All right.
It's gonna be.
Well, Jay, you've got your free thinking going, and I like that. So we'll bring this up. Russ had this really great idea of, you know, this year we're seeing something that we feel like we haven't seen in a long time. A young quarterback coming off injury who gets the Super Bowl in his second year in the NFL, kind of a guy who everybody thought was going to be good from the get-go. And then a quarterback who spent years with the same team and could never find the success necessary to make that happen. Goes to a new team, and it's like a, you know, rejuvenation. It's a refresh, and there you go. He lives up to that potential they always knew he was capable of. So we already have those two. We don't need them. We want the next. We're already looking to the future. We want the next. So now my one question to you, Russ, and this is the one thing I need to know. When it comes to who's the next Stafford, do they have to be someone that, like, has not had any success in the NFL postseason-wise, or can they have had marginal success?
I mean, I'm not grading papers here. Okay. So however you can spin it. Personally, I saw it as someone, yes, who has not had really any postseason success.
Okay.
But we're here to be entertaining, guys.
I see what you're saying. Well, okay. So then for me, I'm going to go with – on the young side, I'm going to go with a pretty obvious one because I think the team has the potential to have postseason success. They just need – to refresh a few spots. I'm going to go with Mac Jones as the Burrow's position. I don't see Jacksonville getting better anytime soon. And Trey Lance, that would just be too easy because San Francisco looks to already have everybody but a skilled quarterback. So you're really just plugging in. The Pats seem like they have it, and they were pretty good this year. And Mac Jones proved to be – look, anytime you can get a win in the NFL and only throw the ball three times, your team has a way of being successful. So I'm going to go Mac Jones on that side. On the other side, the reason I ask this is because I genuinely can't remember. I don't think he's had any postseason success in the time he's been there. But if he has, I apologize. Because I think it's going to be a shakeup now that McDaniels is there. I'm going to go with Carr. I'm going to go.
You're an asshole. You just took both Russ and mine. You're a dick.
It's because that's the answer.
I'll be dead honest with you. I racked my brain across the board on who I could pick, but I also had to remember that there were some guys that just retired, so I had to work through them not being
Ben Roethlisberger. You mean you couldn't put
a revival?
couldn't put Matt Ryan together? Come on, someone had to go.
No, because Matt Ryan's been to a Super Bowl. Right. Stafford has never even been to a Super Bowl. Like, that's the thing. Matt Ryan would have been an easy one. But then, like, the only other – and I'm not joking when I say this. The only other guy that I kept having go into my head, but I will never, like, actively root for him, is Jameis Winston. So it was very hard. It was very – no, I think it's Carr. Look, I think – I've said numerous times, I think Carr, if he gets in the right situation, could set the, you know, the league on fire. He's got that capability. He's athletic. He's got an insane arm. I think Gruden really handicapped him when he got there and traded everything away that, you know, Carr needed to be successful. They tried to build it back a little bit, but never to that extent. So I think now that McDaniels is there, McDaniels might want what's familiar. You could genuinely see Jimmy Garoppolo going to Las Vegas to be McDaniels' quarterback. He's worked with him numerous times.
Stop reading.
Eric, this segment is all yours, my friend.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you see Derek Carr get out of the situation. So, yeah, for me, I don't know if they don't have anything to add, but for me, it's Derek Carr and
the dude
and Mac
sleeps.
Jones.
The dude takes a long-ass nap and says, "Hey, guys, I'm a little tired today." And then he just takes control of an entire segment.
I'm going to freewheel this. What's that? All of your notes I'm going to blow up?
No, I said I was going to improv the parlay. I didn't Fair say enough. I was going to improv this. I did 1 minute of due diligence on this while I was going to the bathroom before the show.
This guy.
All right, so everybody knows it's Derek Carr. Who are the Joe Burrows for you guys, Russ?
Oh, my God. Before I get to that, just on the Derek Carr thing, let me finish the scenario you started painting there. Jimmy G goes to the Raiders, right? Because Josh McDaniels wants him to go there. Russell Wilson decides he's done in Seattle. So he goes off in free agency. He ends up wherever. Derek Carr goes to Seattle, throwing to DK Metcalf, finally solves his problems about throwing the deep ball consistently. Okay. And there we go. And I get to live in a city where we have a winning football team. Thank you, Derek Carr.
I'm not going to lie. I had Carr going to the Bucks, but that's okay.
That also makes sense, but that doesn't bring me personal joy.
That's fair. So,
it's about Russ, damn it.
And Derek Carr, one playoff appearance, one playoff loss, just like Stafford. So incredibly good comparison. I'm trying not to curse at you. for rookies, I went a little more strict, and I said they had to be on a bad team, for my own opinion. So Mac Jones makes sense, and Mac Jones is probably the rookie quarterback most likely to lead his team to another playoff. But if we're going to Joe Burrow, 3-win to a Super Bowl thing, I have to pin my hopes on Trevor Lawrence doing this, because I've been hearing about Trevor Lawrence for 7 years now, and maybe it's not fair to expect him to do it in his sophomore season. But if anyone has that expectation, and we've been told the talent to do it, it's going to be him. And now that Urban's gone and he's not kicking people anymore, maybe they can get out of their own way and win some damn games.
Well, especially since it looks like the guy that'll be coaching him next year is going to be a guy that just led Tom Brady to a Super Bowl and is a legend in Jacksonville to begin with, Byron Leftwich. Uh-huh. So not a bad guy to have guruing you over the next couple of years as you try to figure this whole NFL thing out.
That's a great fit for them.
It would be. It definitely would be. All right, Justin. So if it's not Derek Carr, who is it?
No, the only thing I wanted to add was this season, 4,800 passing yards, 7.7 yards per play on average, 23 touchdowns. The interceptions can be a little not helpful at 14, but I think it's Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, and that's the talent. I don't know what Russ is anymore. Not you, Russ, but the other Russ, Sierra's Russ. Russell Wilson's important still, but I think Carr is something to be beholden. So, it's Derek Carr. For me, it's going to hurt because I'm doing it in the division. It's going to hurt a lot, but Matt Nagy's out, and that defense over in Chicago it would be a shame to not see that defense succeed again. So, It's Justin Fields. I want to see Justin Fields succeed, which also means I'm pitting my misery of being a Lions fan up against it. But Justin Fields is something special, and Matt Nagy is out of that area, and none of those players like Nagy. He's gone. I want to see Justin Fields be the next thing that needs to succeed, like a Burroughs is right now. So I'm killing our Sundays, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I see. I just don't see. I agree that Fields would be a top candidate there. I just don't see that offense taking off like they need it to, especially when they just hired a defensive coordinator as the head coach, because he's going to be more minded on the fact of what he already has. So I feel like he's going to be more inclined to build up that defense to fix what he knows and then start working on the other side. But I look, Fields showed that when he has the time and the, you know, the people around him, he can be pretty effective. Now, I think I actually ended up happening exactly what I said. They never were willing to fully commit to him. Mm-hmm. It was always week to week. Oh no, we're going to go with Andy this week. Oh, you know, Nick had a good week. We're going to go with Nick. No, let's put the rookie in. Oh, no, Andy Dalton for 2 weeks. They never were willing to just say, look, you're on the field, stay on the field. Let's figure this out full bore. And I think that could be one of the reasons why Nagy's not there. Well, the record is another, but I think because that front office probably wanted to see Fields. It's that situation we talked about at the start of the show where you're really helping the next guy figure out what he already has. And some coaches just aren't willing to do that. They want to win thinking you're going to hold on to me. And that's not always the case. So I think that's kind of what happened. I have to issue a formal apology that I actually said Derek Carr to both of you, because I clearly ruined your time and all that hard work went into me, you know, just completely going off the top of the dome. So that's my fault for having an opinion.
Don't apologize. I think you're right.
It yeah. could be. It's good to know that my ideas are supported by others. Look, and in all honesty, it could be someone we're not even thinking about. Like we all tried to be as thoughtful on this as we could, but I mean, in all technicality, the guy could technically be older. You could go with a guy like Justin Herbert as the next guy to do it. He has had no playoff success. And he's still in that young enough age that he could be the Burrows, even though he came out the same time as Burrows. Mm-hmm. So it's weird, but and who knows? With the NFL being what it is, whoever goes this year as a rookie quarterback could be the guy. I mean, let's be honest. Pittsburgh needs a quarterback, and it's looking like they're going to take a Pittsburgh Panther this year. So we never know what we're going to get out of them. It could be very interesting. We'll have to see what happens. Switching over now, it's that time. Red Wings hockey. Russ, how did we do on our little 4-game guess?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can help.
Tell you right now. Go ahead, Jay.
The fourth game is tonight against LA. So we're technically 2-1 right now. So I think you guys both had them at 2-2. So if they can take down the ferocious LA Kings and Cal Peterson in net, probably, you guys would probably hit. And my 2-2. I don't know. I did something stupid. I think I did 2-0-2.
You were 2-0-2.
I got loose on the goose. So, you guys are looking good right now.
Technically,
I need
something
explained to me here.
Mm-hmm.
How are we 2-1? There's been 4 games played.
I thought tonight was the fourth.
They lost to the Hawks. They lost to the Hawks 8-5. They beat the Penguins 8-2. Or
I thought the Chicago one was part of the 2 weeks ago.
That could be why. I could just be looking one week. All right. So we're starting on the Penguins. That's where this nap didn't help me any. I looked a little too far back. I looked a little too far back. Okay. We have the Kings tonight. Day 2-1. That's not too shabby, kids. It's not looking too terrible. Quick update of things. No real change across the board. Dylan Larkin still leading the team in points and goals. Moritz Seider, 25 assists, leading the team. Penalty minutes still going to Giovanni Smith and Bertuzzi's leading the team on a plus minus of 12. So, you know, guys, I really feel like we're kind of hitting, like, as we get closer to this All-Star, which for some odd reason, I really wish they would just give up on the All-Star thing and let the Red Wings just keep playing hockey. I don't really want them to take a break right now.
It's so really, good, though. I love it.
It can be, but I also don't want Seider and Raymond to forget what they're doing, because I'd really like it to keep going in a way.
I'd like to think they don't have the attention span of a goldfish. They'll remember.
They're 19 years old. I had We all have attention spans of goldfish when we're 19. Let's be honest. They're like that dog in Up. They're like, oh, yeah, hockey's great. I'm like, car. And then they're right back to it. So, look, Jay, all right, here's what I need then. Because obviously with the Red Wings, it's pretty simple what we need to talk about. What is it about that All-Star week or that weekend that gets you to it's actually worth putting a halt on NHL hockey for this?
You're asking the wrong person because I'm a sicko. I once made like a bingo square of events during the skills comp and the All-Star game. I am the very few that gets, like, I found out they're going to take a little boat and they're going to push these players out into the middle of, I think it's the Bellagio's fountain. Yep. For them to go do part of the skill comp. Love it. Love it. They're going to have celebrity goaltenders and celebrity, I think some of the, what is it? They've got other people that are participating in the event. It's like not just the NHL superstars. They've got other talented people coming in to do these events with them. Like, I'm a sicko. I fall for this shit every year, and I'm going to be glued to it.
What does that have to do with hockey, though? That's what I don't get. Like, nothing. The NBA, like the NFL Pro Bowl, when they used to do like the skills and all that, like the quarterbacks throwing the targets, that has something to do because it shows your accuracy and arm strength, and the jugs machine, it shows how good the hands are. And you go to the NBA and like the 3-point contest, that holds merit. The dunk contest has become pretty gimmicky. But to me, something like that, like taking them out to the middle of a fountain and doing hockey, that's the same to me as when they have Justin Timberlake play in the celebrity basketball. I don't care if Justin Timberlake can do a layup, because let's be honest, they put 3 or 4 former NBA players in that game. If that was anywhere near real, you give the ball to Baron Davis every time and he goes past everybody and scores. But they don't do that. That's like having a celebrity hockey game and saying, hey, Wayne, we want you on the ice, but just sit over there and every so often just take a shot. No, give the puck to Wayne Gretzky and let him get past every single person and score a goal every single freaking time. That's
counter.
But that's what I don't get. Those kind of things have nothing to do with the sport.
Your old man is showing so hard right now.
It's counterpoint.
Can if it wants.
Counterpoint. Eric, do you like golf?
I love golf. You know that.
Do you like?
Do I love golf? Jay,
do you like the AT&T Pro-Am? Do you like the Pro-Am, my friend?
It's right here.
Do you love it? Do you take the Pro-Am seriously when it's like Bill Murray and Daniel Berger?
Yeah, because Daniel Berger is actually competing in a tournament.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. Do you like when the MLB decides home field advantage through their shit?
No, I think it's stupid.
Okay, so why not make it a gimmicky, fan-pleasing event where you do put someone in the middle of a body of water and have them shoot at the digital board? It's not supposed to mean anything. It's supposed to just
because
be fun.
Because that, to me, is the same as doing the home run derby, but saying you get 3 points deducted if Curtis Granderson can swim into the middle of the pond in the outfield and catch the ball. It means nothing.
I watched that.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up. Dear God. It Dude. Just means – it means – not like, that's the thing. I'm watching this because – and I – Russ, we've referenced it I don't know how many times on this show. Like, I think back to the home run derby with Ken Griffey Jr. in the backwards hat. That was a pure display of a skill that is fundamental to the sport. I don't really care about any of those other – if I'm watching these, I want to see you do best what I admire watching you for. I don't want to see Peyton Manning in a punting contest. I want to watch Peyton Manning throw a football – and hit these targets because he is phenomenal at said thing. I don't care about that other stuff. So yeah, will it be cool? Will it be funny? It'll be enjoyable, but it kind of goes right to me about the same as like when we watch the match, Jay, when you watch Tiger and Phil and then Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, you know that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are going to hit shanks and duffs and they're going to hit horrible shots. But you also know that Tiger Woods is going to hit it to an inch of the cup one time that day from, you know, 200 yards out because he's really good at doing that. So to me, those kind of things, they're fun for a minute. And then after a minute, it's like, okay, you lost me. Like the dunk contest. I watched the first 2 seconds of the dunk contest because the first guy usually tries to do something super cool that no one's seen before. And then the third guy tries to jump over a Kia and it's just pointless and it's boring. Yes. I'm referencing Blake Griffin, by the way. So
if you're expecting competitive sports, don't ever watch an All-Star game. That's not the point. The point has always been to be fun and attract fans and, frankly, more than the rest of them, give something back to your sponsors who've been.
Oh, I'm not talking about the game itself. I'm talking about like the skills challenge.
Skills competition that is inherently not a game. If you want it to look like, if you want the Pro Bowl to look like football, you're not going to enjoy it. If you want any part of it, any part of a skills we get, like, dude, this is supposed to be fun. If you want to see someone be. If you want to see Connor McDavid go go full speed, tuck his shoulder down on a guy, have the goalie send his jockstrap into the third row and score a goal. He has 82 games that he does that every single year. There's over 1,200 games in the NHL season. Watch one of those. This one is the one time that I want to see something different. Something that isn't that, something goof, remind me that sports are fun and we're inherently playing a children's game for money. Like that, that's all I want here. And failing that, that's not, you're not, you're never going to get them to be fully competitive. So at least you can try and make it interesting and entertaining. You're not going to have them go full out. You're just not.
Success is fun, right, Russ. Now. Success.
Dude, it's an all-star game. What is success in an all-star game?
I am tagging
not
you
getting injured. That's success in an all-star game.
I'm tagging you on Twitter on every single event, that every winner from every competition. I'm going to go back and find like Al Iafredi when he goes 4-for-4. I'm going to send you pictures of Al Iafredi all weekend.
Hashtag success.
That's all you're going to get now. It's fun.
It's fun.
Damn it.
Fun. Because it's fun. We're having fun. It's just me projecting my father out, because my dad used to always be like, that's not. Well, you got to understand, growing up, the only story I ever heard about the All-Star game from before our time was Larry Bird walking into the locker room before the three-point contest, tying up his shoes and looking at everybody else in that locker room and going, okay, who's coming in second place? And then proceeding to go out and win it in the three-point contest, where he made the last three and walked off holding up one finger. So that to me is, that's a guy going out and displaying his skill set to the top tier. And that's fun. But you also, he had fun doing it. The guy didn't even take his warm up off when he won it, but
selective fun. Eric is
fun on my terms, damn it.
Managed, regulated fun leads to success.
Go eat your rice pudding and go to bed.
You know what? You know, I hope Dylan Larkin comes out for the fastest skater competition, has a old starter warm up jacket on, and goes, "Who's coming in second?" I'd love it.
It'd be great. I'd watch it.
Just be goofy as shit doing it. At least be interesting.
I get it. Let's reset.
No, you can't come back from that.
Because honestly, I can feel the ads on my phone leaning towards denture cream at this point. So let's lean back. I enjoy the fun. It's gonna sound so bad. It's the only way I can think to word it. I enjoy the fun to an extent. When guys are putting on,
there's a time and a place for fun.
Exactly. When guys are
putting on, in the house.
Well, like when Dwight Howard's putting on a cape to do a dunk. Okay, you lost me. The dunk should be what gets me, not the fact that you're supposed to be Superman and you're dunking the ball. It's like, that's great. That's fine. When the gimmick takes over what I'm actually watching it for, you lose me. And that's the thing. I'll enjoy it. Now, I agree with you that, yeah, seeing Connor McDavid get past every guy on the ice and score a goal, we're going to see that all season long. So, yeah, give the puck to Brett Burns and let him try to do it. I'm good with that. That would be fun to see and enjoy. Because it's actually hockey in its fun nature. Now, if Brett Burns puts on a gorilla suit and tries to do it, you lost me.
Nope, I'm in. I'm in. Make him play the whole All-Star game like that.
All right, I hate everything about this. Moritz Seider's leading the team in assists, guys. Let's get back to the hockey. I want to get to our parlays because we only have a little bit of time left. But before I do, I've asked you every week. I'm going to ask you again this week. Jay, is this the playoff hockey team?
Yes. Yes, they are. And they also have some big decisions to come up and face here soon, because they win a collective 5-6-3 in January. And if we're going to keep being a middling 500 team, we also have a trade deadline coming up. And once February hits, you start looking at draft capital and like four or five UFAs, Nick Leddy, Danny DeKeyser, that need to probably come off this team if we're going in that direction. So I want to continue to say they're a playoff team. And we're not going to ship out any assets. We'll take our 7 picks in the first 4 rounds and just have a chance to have fun in the playoffs.
Justin, if when we come to the trade deadline, say they're in a wild card spot, even they're in the last one, likely means that they would go up against a 1 seed and get their asses handed to them. Would you rather they pay for someone, give up assets?
Oh, God.
Give up a Cal Yarncroc to bring in David Legwand for 1 year? Or would you rather them drop like a Letty and pick up a third round pick or something.
And make the playoffs still.
Possibly. You'd still have a chance either way. But which would you prefer?
Kick it out the door. Letty, Grice, Nemestikov, Danny DeKeyser, any of our UFAs, they can go.
Then you don't think they're a playoff team.
I want both things.
You can't.
I want all the fun. Teams. I want all the fun.
Unregulated fun for the people.
Yeah. All right, Russ. Two and one right now. Chance to go 3-1 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, are the Red Wings a playoff hockey team?
No, they're 9 points behind Boston, and Boston is better at almost every spot in the roster, if not every spot. No.
Okay. Just because Russ gave me such a hard time with controlled, regimented fun, I'm going to say yes, they are a playoff hockey team for this week. Look, 3-1, that's a great trend to get on. I hate that it could potentially have to stop for a couple days, but we'll get it going right after. But yeah, controlled, regimented fun leads to playoff hockey teams, guys.
Now I feel bad I just tagged you in one of NHL's tweets just now on Twitter. I tagged you in something. I feel bad. And now you're on my side, and I just dogged you. Now I feel bad. I gotta delete the tweet.
It's fine. I blocked you on Twitter like 2 months ago, so I don't really.
I did it from our account, though. So you're gonna block yourself.
Oh yeah, I don't follow that Twitter account, so no, it's okay. I like what you're doing. All right, it's that time of the week. As always, Sergeant Salty's bet of the week.
I was just gonna do a Twitter correction, but I can't do it now. all right, this is plain and simple. Our future bets on who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl, there's only one person standing, and that's Russ. And Russ had Cincinnati over the Rams as the outcome of the season. So, Russ, you have a Joe Burrow shot. So, at plus 1,200. So,
yuck.
I know. So, I have a very simple question for both of you. I've got a little bit of money left in my account because I took the Rams to win the AFC, which they did. So, I want to spend that money, and I'm going to leave it up to the two of you to spend my money. Can you guys do that for me?
Okay, Ben Stein.
Okay. Spend Justin Stein's money. I'm building a three-leg parlay because it's going to parlay into the other parlay topic we're about to do. But I'm building a three-leg parlay, and I've already picked one of the legs, and it's Rams money line at minus 195. I need the two of you to help me put together my other two pieces, and I have two options for you. You can either add to my parlay the following. Stafford over 1.5 touchdowns thrown plus an OBJ touchdown, or you got to take over 48.5 points and a Jamar Chase touchdown. The Stafford over 1.5 plus OBJ is plus 320 with obviously the Rams money line. And the other one is plus 460 to take the over and a Jamar Chase TD. But I want to build it and I'm going to spend my money as soon as you tell me. So if either of you have an inkling towards something, go.
And this is building on top of an existing parlay?
Just the Rams. You're going to take Rams money line plus just the other two events.
Gotcha.
And with what you said on the over, that might hurt you now because you're telling me the over is not going to hit.
Yeah, I don't think the over hits. That would be a very safe thing in my opinion.
Right. And you can still get under with Stafford throwing two touchdowns. Technically, you could throw three.
Yeah. That's the 21 right there that I had. So
right. And if he throws more than one touchdown, because we know one of them is going to be Cooper Kupp. I don't make the rules. I just follow them. then that means one's open for OBJ, right? So yeah. I'd have to go with that one, the Stafford and OBJ.
Yeah. No, I agree. These are both teams that are capable of scoring at any moment, but what no one seems to realize is they're both teams that have defenses capable of stopping people from scoring at any moment. So this is going to be capitalize on your opportunity when the opportunity comes, because you're more than likely not going to get a ton of them. I expect Aaron Donald to be in Joe Burrow's face a lot, but I also expect Joe Burrow to be able to make some plays. He's got a pretty, good pocket presence. So yeah, Stafford's not going to be looking at Cooper Kupp and no one else. He knows that this is a game that anyone can help you advance that ball. So we're going to go to OBJ. OBJ has been great since he got there. It almost seems like a new lease on life. He's been so good, the league decided they wanted to drug test him, just to be sure. We don't know. You seem to be doing really good, so let's make sure you're not juicing. So, yeah, I would take the OBJ.
All right, so we'll roll with that. And just a programming note for betting, Stafford is favored to be the MVP at plus 160, Coop at plus 600.
Give me Coop at MVP, by the way. I'll take Cooper Kupp at MVP. At Cooper Kupp, yeah, I would say Cooper Kupp, like, two touchdowns and about 100, pretty much similar to what he had this past week, 140 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Stafford's not just going to look at Cooper Kupp, but if Cooper Kupp's open, he's not going to pass up the opportunity to give him the ball. That guy, Cooper Kupp, legitimately has case to be the league MVP this year for what he did. Legitimate. So I would say, yeah, Cooper Kupp, even if Stafford has a, you know, 21 or 25 for 250 and three touchdown day, I still think if Cooper Kupp has almost 50% of the pass or the receiving yards and two touchdowns, I don't know how you pass him up for MVP.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Well, there it is. I'm taking my money right now. Rams money line, Stafford over 1.5 TDs, OBJ TD, Rams centric parlay.
Okay. Now if OBJ runs a TD in or even throws for a TD, does that also hit?
The throwing, no, but the running, yes. It's just any time score.
Okay. It's good to know.
Excellent question.
Thank you.
I like it. All right, time to do math that no one understands. Statman parlay with Russ Ivanek.
Well, hopefully you've done a lot of your own math ahead of time here.
Nope, improv.
Okay, then we will screw it. We'll do it live. Recap of last week, we have to give a little bit of credit to one Mr. Eric Dorsch here, because when the line actually came out for the Michigan-Michigan State game, it was exactly what he moved the line to. However,
I got blown up.
Yeah. However, my 8.5 line was way closer to reality than the 4.5 was, because Michigan State won by 16. So that one wasn't particularly close. So,
by the way, can we just throw a compliment? I would like to say this. In the last, I'll say 10 years, this might be the most complete MSU basketball team I can remember seeing in the last 10 years. There is not one guy on that team that is super, like, I'm not saying this as a diss. There's not one guy on there that separates himself from anyone else, because everybody on that court does their job to a T. It is. I have never seen more night and day. Russ, I think you'll agree with me. We go where Hunter Dickinson takes us most games.
Yeah,
and then on the other side, MSU, they can go to any guy and every guy. This might be the most complete Michigan State basketball team I have seen in the last decade, Jay. It is a lot of fun to watch.
Did you see Tuck? Tuck came. Tuck was in the building.
I give you a compliment that you do that crap. Seriously, what is wrong with you?
He was in the stands. They
I
had,
saw him. They
Tuck
showed, him,
had
they showed him for a minute and a half just sitting there like this. Okay.
Someone was sitting right next to him just filming Tuck react to the team. Tuck was Tuck Cam.
Did they have on the board Tuck Cam apostrophe ING? Tuck Camming.
Tuck Cam. I'd watch that channel.
How do you miss that opportunity as the board operator?
Because they're Michigan State. No one's that smart.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It wasn't agricultural related. And the ag hall is for ag hall related issues only.
Had he had a basket of corn next to him, they would have figured it out in a second. But
there you go.
Oh, get off of it.
Tuck Corning. All right. Sorry. No, I didn't mean to
corn,
derail.
Cornhub.com.
Cornhub.com. Oh, there you go. Yeah, the Midwest site. Bit of a recap real quick last week. The Michigan State leg of all of the parlays was the only one that any of us got, and we all did get it. So we all collectively did not hit our parlays, but improved from the week before. So we're still bad, but we're not the Lions anymore. Yeah. So we've got a fresh three on here, much smaller spreads to work with this time around. So things should be a little bit tighter here. We're going to figure out. And because we're trying to mix it up, we are actually going across three different sports this time. So good fun for everyone all around. The first one up is Kings and Red Wings tonight. Wings are plus 1.5 on that game. So Kings are the favorite there. Detroit Pistons versus Minnesota Timberwolves. Had to make up a line, benchmark some other close ones. So we go Detroit +7. They will be the underdog in that game. It's a question of how much. And then for shits and giggles, because we know Eric loves a all-star game.
He won't do it now.
AFC NFC Pro Bowl, even line, good luck picking one. Those are our three. Do we have anyone ready to present to the class? Justin is ready. Justin, you may go.
All right. So I want to take the T-Wolves, and I want to make them a minus 10.
Okay, so a half point move.
No, 3 points, because if they're plus seven, I want to move them. Yeah.
Spoiler to mine. Whoops, I looked at the wrong column.
I want to push them out to 10. I don't think Cade's going to play. I know he was day-to-day. So no Cade, take the 7, bump it to 10. I've got 3 to give. Let's make the Wings at plus 3.5. Who knows what they're going to do? So I want to give them as much cushion. The Pro Bowl game, I guess I got to take a team. So I'm going to rock with give me the NFC. Give me T-Wolves plus, T-Wolves given 10. And the Wings getting 3.5 against LA. I'll get my assurances on the ice because you can't trust the puck bounce. Did I do it wrong?
You got 1 point to give still. Minnesota went from 7 to 10. Detroit went from 1.5 to 3.5.
Fine. Give me, I don't know what team I took. Give me the NFC, I guess, plus one. Which okay. doesn't do a whole lot of shit, but just give me the NFC.
If they tie, you got it, bud.
Excellent.
All right. I'm going to make this super easy.
There he goes.
Move the Piston. I mean, I agree with Jay. Move the line to 10 for the Timberwolves. Leave the Wings as is. I have a feeling tonight's going to be a little bit closer of a game. And give the AFC. I'll take the AFC, actually. I like that. Give the AFC and spot them 3. I like that. That seems to make sense.
Okay. That does make sense.
You can't watch the game, though, but I love what you did.
No, I'm not going to watch a second of it. I'll just look at the box score at the end of it.
You don't need to watch it to win a bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really care. No, it's in all honesty, yeah, it's I'm going to give the AFC because half of the best NFC players are actually still playing in the Super Bowl. Therefore, they can't play in the game. And the guy who would have probably been the best quarterback of it retired. So he's not even going to play in the Pro Bowl anyway, even though he's eligible. So we'll see what comes of it.
No, I'm with you on the AFC part. To put a bow on this, I was even willing to take them as favorites. I got AFC minus 2, and Detroit even. I took the Wings all the way down to even because Detroit 14-8-3 at home, playing the Kings at home here, much better team, and I believe DeKaiser might still be scratched. So. There's your
got that going for us. So,
and that remainder there lets me push the Pistons to plus 10.5. So we're all pretty damn close on that last leg of that one. So yeah, barring a tie in the Pro Bowl, we got a pretty tight thing going on here. Hopefully at least one of us hits this week because it would be nice to win one.
If any of us miss it, like Joe Valeno missed an empty net last night, then it's going to be very sad. I don't know if you saw that. He missed a wide freaking empty net.
That guy needs it too.
I hate it.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Science says that's the show we got to go. Before we do, you mentioned the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I'll be watching. This is Pebble, and
I know
that's
too much fun.
It's too much. It's regulated, controlled within the parameters of golf fun.
It's exactly 18 holes of fun.
Yeah. They have to play by the rules. There's no second shots. It is as you see it golf. Who do you like this week, man?
To be honest, I was not reminded that the Pro-Am was happening until I watched Bill Murray do a bunch of funny shit on Instagram today. Who's paired? Well, is Timberlake
I'll give you,
playing?
I don't know. I don't have the actual celebrity pairings because they don't put them out until the day of. Okay. But I can't say the odds actually seem fairly long for everyone this week. Best odds go to Patrick Cantlay at plus 700.
Cantlay do that.
Jordan Spieth is actually fourth, tied with Jason Day. They're 3 and 4, both at plus 2000. The guy I'm going with, I lost where he is. Give me once. There he is. I'm going with the guy who's sitting at plus 4,000 right now. I'm going with Kevin Kisner, man. I feel like he's due, and seeing him get it at Pebble would be pretty fun to watch.
I'm not against that. You did say my boy Spieth, though. So I knew you'd be eyeing Spieth. Those are my two, man. I go with Spieth.
Yeah, go Spieth. All right, Spieth sitting at plus 2,000, and I will take Kevin Kisner at plus 4,000. Russ, you seem like someone who would root for Seamus Power, so because it's shame is power. So
is that a?
No, that's a name.
Was that a BDSM joke, or is that the Irish version of Austin Powers?
It is what you need it to be, my friend. It is what you need it.
Okay,
to be.
I'll I'm take looking to see if,
yeah, I'm looking to see if there's anybody in here that would just go right into Russ's category of golf. No, everybody else has normal people names. Yeah, everybody else has normal people names. So that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. My thanks, as always, to the Statman, Russ Ivanek.
Oh, it was a blast again, and holy hell did we get through a lot today. We'll be shoveling snow and these topics out for the next week here.
Absolutely. And as always, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, Flagstaff Golf, Armchair 20. Get it right. It's almost golf season, baby.
There we go. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's One Small Step for Us, One Giant Leap back in Detroit Sports Broadcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.